As Christians, we know Jesus is very important to us. We just took the Lord's Supper. And as Bruce pointed out, he died on a cross for us. He gave his life. And we know what that means to us. But do we know all that he is? We're going to take a look through the book of Ephesians to see what Paul had to tell them about Jesus. So if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 3. And we're going to see here that He is who spiritual blessings come through. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings come to us through Christ. We have a hope of eternal life because of that death on that cross that we took of this Lord's Supper to remember about. That is the greatest spiritual blessing we have. Eternal life. And you need to keep that ever in your mind, what he paid for us. Our next point is in chapter 1. Verse 22 and verse 23, and he says there, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And also we'll look at chapter 5, if you'll turn over to there. Chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians and verse 23, reading only the first part of the verse, we see there Paul telling the Ephesians, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church and has authority over all things. He told his disciples, all authority was given to him. And we see here Paul telling them, his body, the church, he had the head over it. He had control over it. Our next point is in chapter 2, verses 1. And here we're going to see that he is who... He is how we are made alive from our trespasses and our sins. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then if you'll go down to verse 5 of that chapter. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It is through Christ and his death on that cross that we have the forgiveness of sins and were made alive. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, if you want to turn over to there. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin will put us to death spiritually, but eternal life is given to us through his Son, he says there in Romans. And we see that here in Ephesians that we're made alive from Christ's death. Our next point is that is he is our peace, as chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 show us. Chapter 2, 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. So, he brings peace to us in the fact that before it was the Jews were God's chosen people, and the Gentiles were without any hope, and he brings us peace and brings us together as one now. All men have the hope of eternal life, can have. Our next point is, he is our access to the Father. Chapter 2 and verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And I'd like to also look at 1 Timothy 2:15. Nevertheless, no, that is not the right. Oh, verse 5, 1 Timothy 2:5, excuse me. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we have access to God through Jesus, our Savior. He is our chief cornerstone, as chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 points out. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He was the chief cornerstone. Acts chapter 4 tells us that as well. It says there that the Jews had rejected him as being that chief cornerstone. But nevertheless, he was the cornerstone upon which the church was going to be built. Our next point is, he is a part of the creation. Chapter 3 and verse 9. And to make all see that, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages was being hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So we see here that Jesus was a part of the creation. We also see from the scripture reading that Tyler read in John chapter 1, that Jesus there, not a thing was created without him. He was there. The Word was God, and the Word was there at the beginning. And we also know in later description that the Word was Jesus. And through him, all things were created. So he is a part of the creation. He is our Lord, as we see in chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. There's one body, the body of Christ, the church that he was given to be head over. Not many bodies, but one. And he is the Lord over it. As it says here, he is the Lord, the master. And the master here as is one who rules over. He is our Lord. He is the giver of the gift of grace. In chapter 4, down in verse 7. Chapter 4, 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So, the gift of grace comes through Christ as well. He's the organizer of the church. Chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, Jesus organized, put into place the positions, the things that were needed to get the church organized and doing things in the way that it should be done. He is an offering and sacrifice to God for us. Chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. We already discussed how we partake of the Lord's Supper to remember that sacrifice. He gave himself. And it says it was a sweet smelling aroma before God. It was sweet to him because it was the obedience of his son. He went to Gethsemane and asked that this be passed from him. But he said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. He was the willing servant, obedient to the end. And that's why it came up as a sweet-smelling aroma before his Father. In this same chapter, in verse 25, looking at that, we'll also see about his sacrifice. Chapter 5, 25. Husbands. Excuse me. Okay. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He was that perfect sacrifice. And he gave himself for the church. He was the bride, the church is the bridegroom, and he sacrificed himself for it. He is our king. Chapter 5, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Okay, we don't see it saying he's the king there, but if there's a kingdom, there's a king. And Christ is listed there as one of the king. And we also could turn to 1 Timothy 6:15, which I'm not going to read at this time, but you, just for your note, 1 Timothy 6:15, it says there that he was the King of Kings. So he is our King. Also, we notice in this verse that this kingdom is only going to be given and allowed to enter in those who are pure. The things that are listed here are not pure. And there's only a sample of the things as well, but those things we see there will keep you from heaven. Our next is, He is our Savior. Chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He is our master. Chapter 6, verse 6. I got a misprint here. Just a moment. Okay, it is chapter 6, but it's verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your master, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. You're a bondservant. We are Jesus' bondservants, making him our master, our owner. He bought us with a price. That blood shed on the cross. We are his servants. He is our master. And also in verse 9 of that same chapter, chapter 6, 9. And you masters, to the do the same things to them, giving up threatenings and knowing that your own master also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So again, we see that Jesus is the master of all. To conclude, hopefully from Paul's letter, we have a better insight to who Jesus is. Because Paul evidently thought it was very important for those of Ephesus to know, because every chapter, if you noticed, of this letter contains some information on Jesus. Every chapter of that book tells us something about Jesus. And that's why it should be, as the song says, Jesus is all the world to me. He gave his life on that cross for me and you and all of mankind. But he's much more than just a person who died on a cross. And I hope that we could see that through this things we've discussed this morning. He is our all. We owe him all. We can never repay the debt that was paid on that cross. The love that God had to send his son to this earth, and to think that his son was willing to come to this earth and then to go to the cross and sit there at Gethsemane and say, if it's your will, let this pass from me, but if not, I'll bear it. And he did bear it. What love was shown for us? If you haven't named Jesus as your Savior, you have an opportunity this morning to do so. If you have, and there's things that's not right in your life, you have another opportunity as well to come forward and make it right with the Lord God as we stand and we sing the song that was chosen.